A settlement reportedly reached in the murder-for-hire case against Malcolm X's daughter. The search goes on for more victims in Oklahoma City. President Clinton bans all trade with Iran. Good morning, I'm Mitchell Krause for Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Prosecutors and Kabila Shabazz have reportedly reached a settlement in Minneapolis, where the trial of the daughter of Malcolm X was to have begun today. Sources say Shabazz admitted responsibility for her participation in a plot to kill Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Bruce Hagovic is with CBS station WCCO.
The terms of that settlement, as we understand it right now, the trial will be deferred for 2 years, according to the reports that we have, and during that two-year period, Shabazz will undergo a two-year psychiatric and chemical dependency program and evaluation. If she stays out of trouble with the law during that two-year period, then the charges will be dismissed and dropped.
Shabazz is now in a Minneapolis courtroom for a hearing on the plea bargain. It's been 11 days since a huge bomb demolished the federal building in Oklahoma City, with the death toll expected now to rise to 200. The search for bodies goes on, but correspondent Nick Young says it may be done differently.
It may be the most difficult decision of this recovery operation. Officials are meeting at this hour to determine whether they will press ahead with the use of humans digging for the remains of victims of the bombing, or whether the danger from the increasing fragility of the building will force them to move in with machines. Governor Frank Keating says protecting the workers is paramount, even though that may mean some remains are never recovered. But the families seem reconciled. One police official told me their worries have been growing during the past few days, that searching for their loved ones in the severely weakened structure could threaten the lives of the crews. Nick Young, CBS News, Oklahoma City.
Federal officials say bombing suspect Timothy McVeigh's fingerprints have been found on a sales slip for the purchase of a ton of ammonium nitrate, one of the ingredients in the Oklahoma City bomb. The receipt was reportedly found at the home of his friend, Terry Nichols. Paul Looney is McVeigh's attorney.
The young man either has the most complex personality that I've ever encountered, or he's innocent.
Blood evidence under the microscope. That's the focus as another week in the O.J. Simpson trial gets underway. David Dow reports.
With Judge Lance Ito now trying to push the Simpson trial along, prosecutors will launch into a phase of their case that promises to be dry, detailed, and potentially decisive. First up, Greg Matheson, a police crime lab supervisor who occupies a key role in the Simpson case. CBS News legal consultant Erwin Chemerinsky.
He did the initial blood testing, and that blood testing is the key to the prosecution case, along with the DNA analysis to come next.
The DNA results were not available last summer when Matheson testified in Simpson's preliminary hearing. At that time, he said at least one of the blood spots at the murder scene matched Simpson's blood type. With DNA, prosecutors hope to convince jurors it is not only Simpson's type, but his blood. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
President Clinton has decided to cut all remaining trade ties with Iran. He made the announcement at a meeting of Holocaust survivors yesterday in New York.
It would be wrong to do nothing as Iran continues its pursuit of nuclear weapons. It would be wrong to stand pat in the face of overwhelming evidence of Tehran's support for terrorism.
This is Bill Plant. Mr. Clinton's action is intended to signal a new U.S. get-tough policy with Iran. Under existing sanctions, the U.S. has discouraged contacts with Iran, but still allowed a substantial amount of trade, $3.5 billion in oil alone last year. The new order will plug that loophole, won't shut off the flow of Iranian oil necessarily, since Mr. Clinton has ruled out a secondary boycott of foreign companies doing business with Iran. The U.S. is upset by the recently signed deal between Russia and Iran, which would provide the Iranians with sophisticated equipment Washington believes could be used to produce nuclear weapons. The U.S. has repeatedly tried to kill the deal. Mr. Clinton will try again when he's in Moscow next week and talking to President Boris Yeltsin. Bill Plant, CBS News, New York.
The wives of the two Americans jailed in Iraq for illegal entry visited their husbands yesterday. Linda Barloon and Kathy Delaverde spent several hours with them in a Baghdad prison, reportedly saying afterward they looked as well as can be expected considering the circumstances. The women have asked Iraq to commute their husbands' 8-year sentences because they made a simple mistake. The Bosnian ceasefire that began on New Year's Day has ended with an upsurge in fighting. 3 UN peacekeepers were seriously wounded by crossfire. Correspondent Alan Pizzi in Sarajevo says if all-out war resumes, this increases the possibility that UN peacekeepers will pull out under protection of NATO units, including U.S. forces.
There never were any great expectations of peace, and UN Special Envoy Yasushi Akashi confirmed that after his second round of meetings here this morning.
The agreement on the cessation of hostilities is unlikely to be realized.
UN officials said both the Bosnian government and their Serb enemies seemed comfortable with their rejection of an extension of the ceasefire that never really was anyway. Each seems to assume it can carry on the war to its own advantage. The situation became even more dangerous this morning with an outbreak of fighting in the Serb-occupied part of Croatia between Croatian troops and Serbs. The fear is that if it is not contained, it could bring the Serb army of the former Yugoslavia into the mix, and with that comes the possibility of a wider Balkan conflict. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Sarajevo.
A Russian general says heavy fighting broke out overnight in Chechnya. The report indicates there were many casualties on both the Russian and rebel sides in the capital Grozny. Last month, Boris Yeltsin announced a unilateral ceasefire to last until after President Clinton and other Western leaders visit Moscow next week for ceremonies marking the 50th anniversary of Nazi Germany's surrender. One of the first things on the Senate agenda this week, confirmation hearings beginning tomorrow for Henry Foster, President Clinton's controversial nominee for Surgeon General. Mark Noller reports a busload of the doctor's Tennessee backers will be in Washington today to help in the confirmation fight.
At events at both the Capitol and the White House, the fans of Foster will sing his praises as part of the administration's effort to portray the Surgeon General nominee as a caring physician with a long record of public service and take the focus off the issue of how many abortions he performed. To prepare Dr. Foster for his confirmation, his administration handlers staged mock hearing sessions. And though one official familiar with the process says Foster won't be the most polished of witnesses, the White House hopes that could work in his favor. Mark Noller, CBS News, Washington.
Researchers say they found that cancer tumors can be prevented or shrunk with the use of a genetically engineered cancer vaccine.
As more and more tumor-specific proteins become identified, we can, in fact, make a particular vaccine that applies to that tumor.
University of Pennsylvania Professor Yvonne Peterson says lab tests with a bacteria found in unpasteurized milk triggered a strong immune system response.
The immune response to this protein was so good that tumors disappeared in 9 out of 10 of the mice.
A new American Cancer Society study says estrogen supplements don't always lower the risk of ovarian cancer. In fact, the study reportedly found that older women who take supplements for several years may face a higher risk of dying from the disease. Mixed news on the economy. Personal income rose 0.6% in March, a bit more than in the previous month, but fewer Americans could afford to buy a new home as mortgage rates increased monthly payments. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 4 points.